Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangels, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Thank you for joining us, Pearls with Veronica. Thank you for tuning us on Tuesday night at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join us and share the file. I'm Jerry Rose Live Worldwide, and welcome to Positive Power, that works at Christian Media.
Good evening, love. Oh, how I have missed you all so much. Welcome to Pearls with Veronica. I have been away for a few weeks due to a family emergency. However, but for the grace and mercy of God, my dad has survived not one, not two, but three surgeries within a week's time. No oxygen, no side effects. Absolutely nothing. Ain't God good? Ain't he good? Pearls is a faith-based podcast where transparency is the key. It is my prayer that those who tune in on Tuesdays know that I come humbly from that place of transparency and life lessons. Let us pray. God, our voices hold power. Oh, God, in this season, let us not remain completely silent at this time. Let us in our hearts honor you and your son, Christ, as holy. Let us not be ashamed to use our voices to spread the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. God, forgive us when we don't use our voices out of fear, criticism, or laziness. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock, you are our redeemer. O God, you are a keeper. You are a strong tower, a mighty healer, a burden bearer. God, you are our provider, our protector, and most importantly, God, you are our shield. I am most gracious, oh God, for you giving the man of God, Jerry Royce, this vision, a vision platform that allows many and little old Veronica to use their and Veronica's voice to push for you, oh God, and for Jerry gently pushing me out of the nest. I want to also thank Oscar Collars for the sponsorship, but most importantly, for his prayers and words of encouragement. Knowing the voice God has given you. God has given you a voice. Don't waste it. He has given each of us so many voices. And I wonder sometimes, are we operating in those voices for his glory? Every human being has a unique voice that is specifically and intentionally designed by God. God created everything about us as a particular way for a purpose. The word in Psalm 139:14 refers to us as being fearfully and wonderfully made. The human body was not created on a production line, and it is not as beautiful and incredible as it is by chance or mistake. God gave every voice a specific style, sound, and characteristics. And we are given the ability to build on this amazing gift by stretching the abilities of our voices, But there's a core sound that I believe is designed strategically by God in every man and woman. Tonight, I am podcasting from the quietness and no distractions from my car. As you prepare Dad for bed, I just decided to come on outside into the car to podcast and to persevere. Although, you know, we're dealing with him, getting him prepared for bed, cleaning his wound, and, you know, making sure everything is, you know, right before he goes to bed and we lie down as well. We have a voice. When we speak, people listen. We've been given instruments of influence. Some of us have more influence than others, but we all can leverage our spheres of influence for his kingdom. We use our voices in many ways. We use them to share the gospel. We use them to shape people's understanding of issues we're passionate about. With our voices, we champion causes. We comfort the suffering. We encourage, respond, embolden, warn, inspire, and teach. We point people to Christ. We use our voices with intentionality and wisdom, not just to add to the noise. Not only do we want to add value to the conversation, we want to start new conversations. We want people to know and worship the Almighty God. We use our voices to this end. Your voice is a gift. All conversations surrounding voice must begin by acknowledging that our voice is a gift from God. His equipping us with our voices has everything to do with his good pleasure and purposes and nothing to do with our own merit, not our own merit at all. Whatever measures of influence we have is because of him, not because of us. Our enemy is happy to convince us, though, that our own awesomeness, how awesome we are in our own sight. And we are all too ready to believe him. We are glory stealers by nature. We must fight to remember Paul's words to the church in Corinth. What do you have that you did not receive? It's found in 1 Corinthians 4:7. God gives us our voice. This leaves no room for boasting or bragging. And he gives us this gift for a reason. Our voices are unique to us, and God is creative in how he wants to use them to advance his kingdom. Our job is stewardship. We walk through the doors he opens for us. Walking through the doors he opens for us. We communicate the message he gives us for each opportunity. We speak up. We are responsible for using this gift. And I want to briefly talk about me using my gift of encouragement a few weeks ago to a young lady at work. And I noticed that she always carries around a spirit of, she looks puffed up and mad all the time. But that's just a defense mechanism. And I gently begin to chip away at her defense mechanism by asking her what it is that she wants out of life. Come to find out through conversation, she hasn't graduated from high school. She has 2 children, but she wants to go back and get her GED. Had I not been there to encourage her, because I know people that can help her, that I know a young lady that has a program that can help her get her GED, find childcare while she gets her GED. And I asked her, Nee, what is it that Nee wants for Nee? And she said, I want to become a CNA. I don't want to do this for a living always. I say, well, I need you to pick yourself up. I want you to think about Nee in a very positive way. I said, because Nee, you are important because you are God's daughter. You belong to him. You know, I said, we are his. We are not our own. I gave her the information, and before I could give her the information, she had talked to me. She said, Miss Veronica, do you have it? And I said, check your text messages. I sent it to you the other day. And she said, I didn't check. I said, but it's okay. You know, I'm just here to remind you that, you know, that she's here. She's available. Reach out to her because she's going to help and guide you get your GED so that you can take those CMA classes. And I know she wants to do better for her two children. We are responsible, as I said, for using this gift. Remember the parable of the talents in Matthew 25:14-30. Our English word talent, meaning special ability, is derived from this parable. The master gave his three servants talents, which he expected them to use. Two servants invested their talents to gain more, and the master was pleased. The third servant, out of fear or laziness, refused to do anything with his talent and suffered the displeasure of his master. The master took his talent away and gave it to the two servants who were using their talents. Your voice, my voice, our voice is a gift given to us, you and me, by God. Are we using it? Am I using it? Use our voice to benefit others. God has given us this gift of voice, and we must use this gift to build up the church, found in Ephesians 4:12. Your voice, my voice, while helpful to many, is specific to us and to you. He gives you credibility to speak into issues based on what he's taught you and what he's exposed you to. He shows us things for a purpose. Are we being, or are I being a good steward of what he's shown us? Perfect example is yesterday, I corrected someone on, I messaged her actually about the difference between reef, R-E-E-F, and reef. She was excited about her reef, but she used the incorrect word. So I inboxed her and, you know, just gently asked her, you know, to change it. Because sometimes people are your friends, so-called friends, and they'll, pat you on the back, knowing that what you said on social media, that verbiage is incorrect and all out of order. So he asked me to call her, and I did. And in relation to her daughter's father just passed away, and in the conversation, she said something sly out of her mouth. And I asked God, I said, you know, when I call her back on my lunch hour, God, give me the words to say to her, to let her know that I caught the slickness out of her mouth, but let me respond to her the way how you would respond and how you would want me to respond. So I typed up something, and I'm going to read it to you. And I said to her, I said, so this is using my voice, encouragement and chastisement at the same time. So I said to her, so let me make this clear to you. I caught what you said. However, my husband never left our marriage, and I never had a point to prove to anyone. Scripture is clear that while adultery is a sin, it is forgivable for people like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David, who lived in a lifelong state of adultery, but they were forgiven and accepted by God. There were even adulterers in the early church, and they too were forgiven and redeemed. Adultery is forgivable. Adultery is not the unforgivable sin. And I also said to her, I said, one thing about me, I have always known my place according to scripture in marriage. Matthew 6:14-15 teaches us that when you forgive others their trespasses, our Heavenly Father will forgive me and you. But if we don't forgive others of their trespasses, our Father will not forgive our trespasses. Although covenant was broken, I don't have to give an account for anyone's actions. But be very sure of this. God is a restorer. God is a redeemer of your sins when you earnestly seek him. And I also said to her, as a way of encouragement to her, to, you know, to never let the child be made to feel like she is a curse, or remind her of the sin, because at the end of the day, the child is innocent and two adults making a decision to do what they did, and a child is born out of wedlock while the other person is still married. My awareness of this is a part of me. In response to grace, I now advocate for people to join the work of the Lord, although it may be vulnerable. But what has God exposed me to? What do you know? Maybe it's grief, trials, parenting, marriage, singleness, adoption, pastoring, biblical exposition, or hospitality. God has given us knowledge of all of these things and experience in these things that will benefit the church. So therefore, let us use our voice to build others up, encourage, inform, teach, and inspire based on what you and I know. We know that God transforms rebels into adopted sons and daughters. Martin Luther said, "We are all mere beggars telling other beggars where to find bread. With your voice, show others where to find the bread. Use your voice to tell the world about your Father. As good as this is, if we only use our gifts to help others, we fall short of God's ultimate purposes for our life. Our voice is powerful. It can be used for good or for evil. Let's use our voice to glorify God." The first question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism asks, "What is the chief end of man?" And the answer is, "The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. God created us to bring glory," which is found in Isaiah 43:7. We need to be eternally focused. Jonathan Edwards said, and I quote, "Set eternity on my eyeballs." We use our voices with eternity in mind. When he gives his children gifts, like the gift of voice, we respond and should respond in gratitude by using our voices to tell others of his greatness. We exalt Christ to all who listen. Who will listen? We exist for his glory. Our voices should, too, bring kingdom glory, bring God glory by advancing his kingdom. Tell others of his great rescue of rebels. Use your voice to praise him, even when he slays you. You know how Job was. Job said, "Yet though I see slay, I will always trust him." Glorify him by boasting in your weaknesses. Read 2 Corinthians 12:29. Let's use our voice to bless the name of the Lord. God has given us the uniqueness within us. It is having that godly vocal identity based on what God created you to be. And my example tonight is going to be about singers. Singers who come to this understanding possess the following characteristics. They always sing out of who they are. The most popular performers and communicators are those that the public can relate to. People love realism, and realism is what is needed in the church today. Singers who are simply being themselves when they sing are always received better by an audience or congregation. They may be skilled, but they soak their skills in who they are in the context of their God-given personality and style. They may sing a song written by another person, but they always add their personal touch. And I can attest to that by singing the Lord's Prayer at a dear friend's wedding. I added my own personal touch to the Lord's Prayer. I kind of did it a little churchy, if you know what I mean. By that time, the anointing had fallen, so I was singing it. I was in another place. Singers challenge themselves, but never compare themselves to others. Comparing yourself to another singer is fruitless. Learning from other singers is very different. There was wisdom in gleaning from others, so long as you remain true to who God has called you to be. Singers have healthier voices. Knowing your own voice, both its strengths and weaknesses, causes you to know when to push it and when not to, and to be comfortable in that. And I can attest to this as well, because there are sometimes when musicians, I'm comfortable singing under this one particular musician. If he isn't playing, I'm not going to sing, but that's something that God is working on me with, because I already know that he knows how to pick up where I'm going, when I'm going to cut the song off. He knows what key, pitch, everything. So, you know, it's that familiarity and him being a good friend. So he knows my style of singing anyway. When you are content with who you are in God, you sing with a free spirit. And there is no doubt in my mind that this affects your physical health. I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. You know, the message is stronger. When you understand the source of your vocal identity, the message is clear. All singers have a message when they sing, when they realize this or not. It is when we sing from a place of knowing God's voice in us that we allow the message to be free, striving, to be of striving or dishonesty. I can recall a few years ago, many moons ago, Olivia's 21 now. She had to have been about 3 years old, and my cousin had brought a song to our church choir, and she said to me, you're the only person who can deliver this song. I had never heard this song before. It was recorded from out of a Kojic choir out of Tennessee. I can't remember. Tennessee Ecclesiastic. I forgot what district it is. But anyway, I think the soloist's name is Sharon, and her brother played the organ because she was the lead singer in this song. However, when I begin to listen to the words to the song, when I finally see King Jesus, you know, it really touched me, and it related to some things I was going through after giving birth to her, before the pregnancy, after the pregnancy, the weight gain, the medicine taken so I wouldn't get pregnant, so I wouldn't, you know, incur another pregnancy and be dead after I have another baby. You know, I was going through a lot of emotions at that time, going through some things in the marriage, going through some things in the church. But that song touched me, and I took it personal. So I know how it feels when you take a song and you make it your own. It is when we sing from a place of knowing God's voice in us that we allow this message to be free, as I stated, of any strife or dishonesty. And in singing, as singers, you know, we defeat the power of fear. You know, nerves are natural, very natural, but the fear of not measuring up is a devastating device of the enemy. And I always had this fear of not wanting to sing after my cousin Gloria. Gloria can sing, but we each have our own style. So we had this conversation a few years ago, and I was telling her how I never wanted to sing behind her because of the response from other people. And she said, you know, I don't pay their response any attention. She said, I love to hear you sing. And I said, I love to hear you sing as well. But then we begin to realize through conversation that the people in the church, not the church, the people in the church were literally trying to cause strife with us as family members and as singers in the choir, because we were the two of four lead singers in the choir. And we had that honest conversation and transparency. And, you know, and I said to her, I said, I hated it. I hated coming after you because I knew they weren't going to show me the same love. But then, you know, God had to quicken in my spirit and chastise me. You're not singing for the people. You're singing for me. So then when I came into the realization of knowing that this was not about them, it was about him, I took my singing to a different level. Because I know that singing is healing. It's a balm for me. You know, I had to have full confidence, you know, that God will always squash the effects of fear. With this type of confidence, mistakes or bad performances are just lessons to be learned, not storms that blow us off God's given destiny. They're never manufactured by anything or anyone outside of God's word. Circumstance, fashion, and trends should never be allowed to define who you are, nor should we allow people around us to define us. Kingdom singers should always gain their identity and image directly from the word of God. Just like I said, once God chastised me to let me know that I'm not singing for the people in the church, that it's all about him, it was a wrap with me. It was a wrap. But when my sisters and I would sing, I would always consecrate myself. I wouldn't talk because with my sisters and I singing, I'm the lead singer. So I always would put myself in a place where I wasn't talking to anyone. I was focused on God because I knew, okay, God, I'll be singing this song. Let me minister to your people. Let them know that, hey, this song is not so much of the beat, but listen to the message of the words in the song. They are the first to admit their weaknesses. And I do. I got this. I admit it. I'm weak sometimes. And weakness is not a failing. It's an area of our life that is simply under construction. Amen. I don't like to sing solo, but God is taking me out of my comfort zone. I'm not relying on my sisters so much because my sisters are my comfort. They're my safe spot. They're my safe place. But God has begun to push me out of that where I'm doing a lot of solos by myself now. Living in this way requires us as a people and me as a person to live beyond these weaknesses and build God's ideal of who and what we are. For the singer, this means not focusing on what you can't sing or how you wish you sounded, yes, but singing from a place of strength and confidence in the voice given to you with an openness to build on areas of weakness. Our voices will always be incomplete work, whether we're singing, speaking, preaching, storytelling, or an orator, our voices will always be incomplete work. When you understand and accept God's design and purposes of your voice, and your confidence is in the very fact that he gives you the voice you have and not your outward performance of that gift, you are less prone to throw it in during a low season. I believe there is power in knowing and focusing on the peak level of a voice placed in you. If you know your peak level, then when you're not reaching it, it doesn't dismay you, but causes you to find the resources and means to bring yourself back to that peak level. Let us remember to bring glory to God by advancing his kingdom by our voices, letting our voices tell others of his great rescue of the rebel of the rebel. Lots of rebels in the Bible. Let us let the God, then the Lord bless us with the stories we tell. Bless him by teaching others his word. Bless him by boasting of his goodness and grace towards us. Glorify him by confessing your sins in James 5:16. Bless his name as you share about your trials and grief. Use your voice to comfort the suffering. Speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. Look and read Proverbs 31:8. Your voice is powerful. It can be used for good or evil. I humbly encourage you to think intentionally about how you will use your voice. Be strategic with it. God has given you this gift. Steward this gift by building up the church and bringing glory to our Father. Don't waste it. Ending tonight in prayer. Oh God, we thank you. We love you. We honor you. We praise you. We exalt you. Lord God, we thank you for your abundant love and care for us. Thank you for forgiving our sins, even those sins we do not realize we commit. Lord, please fill us with your wisdom and compassion for others. May you bless us with your never-ending love. Thank you that you have shown your love to us on today. As we close pearls on tonight, oh God, we invite you to send us out with the power of the Holy Spirit and into the flame, and to fan into the flame of the gift of knowing our voice and using our voice to glorify you. Thank you for joining Pearls with Veronica. Amen.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangels, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Thank you for joining us, Pearls with Veronica. Thank you for tuning us on Tuesday night at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join us and share the file. I'm Jerry Woods Live Worldwide, and welcome to Positive Power, Double XI Christian Media. Thank you.
You're listening to Jerry Woods Live Worldwide Podcast.